Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 21st chapter of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 19. Continues to show the post-resurrection Jesus as he continues to make himself present to his disciples. So again, that's going to be chapter 21 of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 19, and it is found on page 945 and 46 of your pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." No one of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he said to show by what debt he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Peter, do you love me? That's the question that the resurrected Lord puts to Simon Peter in our text this morning. You may recall that Simon Peter was the Lord's star disciple. He was the one who showed the most eagerness and enthusiasm of all of Jesus' disciples. Jesus himself gave Peter the nickname Peter or Rock. And as you know, rocks are not very pretty and they are not very intelligent, but they are sturdy and strong and reliable. And Peter, if anything, was sturdy and strong and reliable. It was Peter who was the one who was always the first out of the boat. It was Peter who was the one who always raised his hand to answer the question first. It was Peter, when Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was Peter who brashly and confidently declared that he would never deny the Lord, that he would die first before he denied his Lord. Peter was Jesus' star pupil and star disciple. But all of that was before Good Friday. On Good Friday, Peter would discover some difficult truths about himself. He would discover that he was not the rock that he envisioned himself to be. At a crucial moment when the Lord needed him, he would falter, he would fall short, he would fail. He would discover that he loved his own life more than he loved the Lord. And so on the night of our Lord's arrest, Peter would betray him not once, not twice, but three times. A shameful, humiliating thing to have to live with. And so now Peter has gone back to Galilee. He has gone there with the rest of his disciples, gone back to his old way of life, gone back to his old profession, no doubt wanting to put the disciple experience behind him. That's what we do sometimes when we don't know what to do next. When we have failed in some particular task, we go back to the thing that we are familiar with. We go back to the old ways of life. And so Peter goes back to Galilee. He goes back to his fishing. But early in the morning, on the banks of the Tiberias, the resurrected Lord comes for Peter, and he comes for the rest of his disciples as well. He not only comes for them, but he feeds them. He prepares breakfast for them on the shore. And that's one of the things I like about Jesus. He's always eating. He's always down for a good meal, just like we are here at Olney Presbyterian. Eating and drinking and sharing a meal is a sign of the kingdom. And so Jesus shares another meal with his disciples, just as he did on Maundy Thursday when Peter was still Peter, the rock. And even though Peter is no doubt glad to see the Lord, we are told that when he recognizes Jesus, he jumps into the water and moves towards the shore to go greet him. I imagine that Peter cannot look Jesus in the eye. He is no doubt too ashamed and humiliated to be able to look Jesus face to face. But it's in the midst of all of this that the Lord asks Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? Peter, do you love me?" One cannot think of a more poignant question than that. It is a question that we ask one another all the time. Husbands ask it of wives. Children ask it of parents. Friends ask it of one another. And now Jesus is asking it of Peter, his star disciple. "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me?" Actually, the first question that the Lord asked Peter is, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And many people believe that the "these" that the Lord is referring to are all the rest of the disciples who are gathered together. "Peter, do you love me more than Thomas and Nathaniel and the sons of Zebedee? After all, you are the one who boasted that you would never leave me. You are the one who boasted you would never deny me. You are the one who said that you would die for me. So do you love me more than they love me?" That's one possible interpretation. But I suspect that the "these" that Jesus is referring to are all the things that have come to define Peter's life. I believe the Lord is saying, Peter, do you love me more than all of these other things? Do you love me more than this boat and these nets and these oars? Do you love me more than your career and your reputation? Do you love me more than your friends and your family? Does your love for me have priority over everything else in your life? Do you love me more, Peter, than you love your life? Or do you love something more which might cause you to deny me again? Do you love me? It's a good question. It's a good question not just for Peter, but it's a good question for all of us. Do we love him? Do we love the Lord? Do we love him with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our strength? Do our hearts burn with the passion to serve him? Is our love for him the number one priority in our lives? Do we get up in the morning burning with the passion to love and to serve the Lord? Do we love him? A smart person once said that if you really want to know someone, don't bother trying to find out what they believe, but find out what it is they love. Because people always do what they love rather than what they believe. And that's true if you've ever seen people who really love something. You don't have to tell them that they need to do it. They love to do it and they do it. I know people who wait hours and hours outside in inclement weather in order to do what it is they love. I know people who love football and who will go to any football game, any Eagles game. They don't care what the weather is like. They don't care if it's snowing or if it's raining, if it's cold, if it's hailing, if it's football, they're there because they love it and they're willing to endure all of that. Some of those same people say that they believe in God and they even love the Lord, but they don't come to church, or hard to get them to do Bible study, hard to do them to pray, get them to pray. And so it might say something about what it is they really love. We do what it is we love. That's why Jesus doesn't say, Peter, do you believe in me? He doesn't say, Peter, will you obey me? Instead, he says, Peter, do you love me? In other words, our relationship with the Lord isn't grounded in commandments and rules. The Lord isn't interested in how well we adhere to commandments and rules. He's not interested in how well we adhere to dogmas and creeds. He's interested in how well we love, because we always do what it is we love. And if we love the Lord, we will always do the godly thing. It was St. Augustine who said, love God and do what you please. Because if your hearts and minds are shaped by the love of God, then you will always do the godly thing. And so Jesus asked Peter, and he asked us, do you love me? Jesus asked Peter this question one time for each of the times that Peter had denied the Lord on Good Friday. He asked Peter not to embarrass him or to make him feel bad, but he asked Peter about his love for him, because Jesus still loves Peter. If the Lord did not love and care for Peter, he would hardly care if Peter loved him. And so the Lord asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Because I still love you. I still claim you. I'm still counting on you. Even though you let me down, even though you have fallen short, even though you denied me, I still love you. And that is true for us as well. Even though we too have denied the Lord perhaps many times, even though we too have fallen short of God's glory perhaps many times, the Lord still loves us. The Lord still cares for us. He still pursues us, inviting us to have a genuine, loving relationship with himself. But he asked us, do you love me? We need to be careful, of course, because when we think of love, what we often think about is emotions and feelings. The warm, intense feeling that we have for someone or for something. But love isn't so much about what we feel, it's about what we do. I couldn't help but to think of that song in the musical play Fiddler on the Roof, when old Tavernier asked his wife Goldie of 25 years if she loves him. Do you love me? He asked. And she responds by saying, do I love you? Yes. Well, she doesn't say yes, of course. She just says, for 25 years I've cleaned your clothes and I've taken care of your children and I've cleaned your home and I've shared your bed. Do I love you? Well, I guess I do love you. Because love is not just about our feelings and our emotions. It's about what we do. To love someone is to be committed to them. It is to care for them. It is to be there for them in good times and in bad times, in difficult moments and in easy moments. Isn't that the way that the Lord loves us, dying for us and caring for us and forgiving us and being present with us in the midst of all that we go through, comforting us? Isn't that how the Lord loved us? Isn't that how the Lord was devoted to us, dying for us, suffering for us, being there with us in good times and in bad times, continuing to be with us? That's how the Lord loves us. But how do we love the Lord? How do we love him? How do we love the one who loves us more than we can even begin to imagine? How can we love the Lord? You and me. Well, we love him, as he tells Peter, by feeding his sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend to my sheep. Care for my sheep. Peter, if you love me, look after my sheep. In the church circles where I grew up, it was fashionable to talk about inviting Jesus into our hearts. We begin our loving relationship with the Lord, I was told, by inviting the Lord into our hearts. I suspect it's the other way around. I suspect it is Jesus who invites us into his heart and into his life and into his loving presence. But still, I heard a preacher not long ago say that whenever we invite Jesus into our hearts, he brings all of his friends, his sheep, with him. And we are called to love them too. People who are sick, people who are afraid, people who are despondent, people who are lonely, people who are despised, people who need to hear and know that they are loved. People who are just difficult. There's some people who are just difficult. Some people who just, they're hard to love. Maybe you've encountered some of those kind of people, but they're hard to love. But Jesus says, they're my sheep. They're my friends. If you really love me, if you love me with all of your being, love them and care for them too. They are my sheep. They are Jesus's sheep, but they are our neighbors, and we are called to love them. To love them as we would love our own selves. And so Jesus says, if you love me, if you really love me, look after my sheep. Tend my sheep. Look after my flock. There are many people in our world today who need to hear and to know the love of God in their lives. There are many people in our world today that need to hear a good word of encouragement. There are many people in our world today that need to know that there's somebody that cares, that there's a group of people, a community that cares about them. There are people who need to be fed and touched and encouraged with the love of God. And Jesus says, if you love me, church, if you love me, if you really love me, then feed my flock. Take care of my people. Look after my sheep. Give it a high priority. Get up in the morning burning with the passion to love and to take care and to tend my sheep. Peter, of course, would become one of the leaders of the early church. His life will be set on fire with the passion for the Lord and the passion for the Lord's sheep. Indeed, we are told that Peter's missionary endeavors will take him all the way to India, where he too will be crucified, just like the Lord. Tradition has it that Peter will be crucified upside down because he will not see himself worthy to be crucified in the same fashion as the Lord. Peter, bold, impetuous, enthusiastic Peter, but Peter who also denied the Lord, who was so fearful for his own life that he would turn his back on the Lord when the Lord most needed him, it's that Peter. That Peter who later burns with the passion for God and who will go to India, where he too will no longer deny the Lord but will give his life for the Lord. Today the resurrected Lord is still asking. Today the Lord looks each and every one of us in the eye. And he doesn't want to know what it is we believe. He doesn't want to hear expressions of our belief. He doesn't care about our church plans and our church programs. What he wants to hear is one thing and one thing only. He wants to know, do we love him? Because he still loves us with the passion that can never be quenched. Church, do you love him? Do you love him? Do you really, really love him? Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us. You have called us out of this world, called us to be a community of grace and love. Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave us his commandment to love one another, but we are also called to love him with all of our heart and all of our mind, to make our love for him the highest priority in our lives. Endow us with the power to love our neighbor, to feed and tend and care for our neighbors in good times as well as bad times. And give us the courage to love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ more than we love even our own lives. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.